saying to you, it ought to be a woman's choice. I'm not about to be as a male tell a woman what to do with her body. She has the right to make that decision herself. Directly, he said. Some kids are unwanted. So you kill them now, I kill them later. You bring them in the world unwanted, unloved. Then you send them to the electric chair. So you kill them now, I kill them later. But the bottom line is that I think we should be making this decision.
It's a national story. And it happened in Birmingham, Alabama, very close to where I live. Representative John Rogers spoke out and revealed the truth about abortion. And we'll talk about that. I know you're probably thinking, how come you're not talking about the William Barr hearings yesterday? You mean Kavanaugh 2.0? No. That'll come up in just a little bit. Trust me, it's in the stack, and it's most of the stack today. But this tops it off. This is what we have to start with today. Democrat state representative from Alabama. He's getting some fierce backlash over his remarks. It's a national story. It's in publications on the web from across the country. Oddly, weirdly enough, if you go to Alabama's chief web news source, AL.com, you won't find the story anywhere. You'll find stories against the Republican vote, the Republican move to end abortion in Alabama, which is all, it's all just, it's setting up a fight at the Supreme Court level. That's what we talked about before. But you will not find this story about John Rogers. It's not there. It's not there. I think that's very interesting. Well, he's facing some backlash over those remarks. He made them on the floor. And let's play them again. I want you to listen very closely without the music so you can hear him. And listen closely to the background as well.
All I'm saying to you, it ought to be a woman's choice. I'm not about to be as a male tell a woman what to do with her body.
This is a standard Democrat talking point. As a man, I'm not going to tell a woman what to do with her body. Well, it's not her body. It's an entirely different individual with different DNA. But I digress.
She has the right to make that decision herself. Directly, he said.
You may need an interpretation. He just said due to rape or incest.
Some kids are unwanted. So you kill them now, I kill them later.
Some kids are unwanted. So you kill them now or kill them later.
You bring them in the world unwanted, unloved, then you send them to the electric chair.
You bring them into the world unwanted, unloved, and send them to the electric chair.
So you kill them now, I'll kill them later. But the bottom line is that I think we should be making this decision.
Did you notice the background? He's talking to himself. Nobody's listening to him in the room. The reason we have this is because some conservative person was paying attention. And WVTM Channel 13 in Birmingham snagged the clip, and it's gone nationwide. He also said, which is not in this clip, that some children who face abortion could be, quote, retarded, end quote, and, quote, half deformed, end quote. He is rightfully getting a great deal of backlash for his remarks. But let's go back and look at what he said in this clip. Let's just take a look. Quote, some kids are unwanted. Now, yesterday, when I posted this to social media, I used an interpretation. I used the word unplanned because I think you and I both know that's in truth what it is. These are unplanned children. People behaving in activity which produces children, not expecting it to produce children. Go figure. And because they didn't plan for it, whoops, we now are faced with pregnancy and a child. But he used the term unwanted, which says everything about the attitude. The children are not wanted. What was wanted was a night of fun. What was wanted was a reason to keep a man in the picture, in the household. What was wanted was something that they didn't get. The kids were unwanted. So you kill them now through abortion, or you kill them later. You bring them into the world, there's this word again, unwanted, unloved. You send them to the electric chair. So you kill them now, or you kill them later. So what he is saying is that in his district, if children are unplanned, you should either murder them now or face the fact that eventually they're going to die in the electric chair. This is life in Rogers District. As I said, his words are very revealing. Some kids, he used the word kids. He didn't say mass of cells. He didn't say clump of cells. He didn't say growth. He didn't use any of the masking terminology that the pro-choice movement uses so easily. He used the word kids. Those four words, some kids are unwanted, say more than anything else, because he's telling the truth. I know. That's shocking. It's unheard of from a leftist, progressive Democrat politician. But occasionally, it does happen. Occasionally, they slip and they let us know what they really think. Some kids are unwanted, so you kill them now. Or you kill them later. You either kill that child in the abortion clinic, or the state's going to kill him in the electric chair later. That is this man's mentality. Now, if you are to press him, he will tell you that his reasoning and his rationale is all because of racial oppression. He will tell you that the reason he believes in the pro-choice movement is because unwanted children will be victimized by white people, and they will be killed eventually in the white people's prison system. That's what he will tell you. And that makes this even uglier than it already was. John Rogers is telling us the truth, and it is nauseating. And he's catching a lot of blowback for it. And he should. The pro-choice people have probably already pulled him into an office and had a long talk with him. And pro-life people are up in arms because of what he has said. But let me tell you something, pro-lifers. John Rogers has given you a great gift. He has given you the truth. He has exposed his mind and the mind of those with whom he agrees. He has exposed them for what they really are. He has given you a great gift. He has told you that they see these unwanted pregnancies as children. And he has told you that they are killing unwanted children. And he is telling you that he knows that his governmental system that he wants everyone to be dependent upon in order to deliver them from the oppression of the white man is going to kill those unwanted children when they grow up. This is what he's telling you. So he has given you a great gift. He has given you the truth. And you need to remember that. Instead of wringing your hands, instead of fretting over this, instead of being personally offended by this, take hold of it and use it to its fullest advantage. With your liberal friends on social media, when they start talking about abortion and how it's a woman's right and men don't have any right to have a say in it, quote John Rogers to them and tell them this is the truth. This is how this is seen from the inside. Some kids, children, babies are unwanted. If you let them grow up, they're going to die anyway in the electric chair. So you may as well kill them now. This is what these people think. As far as a man not having a choice, let me tell you something. Anybody who has had to face a judge and be basically sentenced to supporting a child the mother will never let them interact with will tell you he should have a choice. And that happens every day in courts across America. If they decide to take the baby to term, in a lot of cases, they will make the guy support the child, but never allow them to have a part in their lives. There are a lot of guys who would disagree with their mentality. But John Rogers, as I said, has given us a great gift. He's told us the truth about what they think. So, today, when your leftist liberal friends talk about a woman's right to choose, remind them that what they're choosing is to kill unwanted kids. That's what they're choosing. It's just the truth. It's harsh. But that's the real world. When you choose to eliminate the consequences of your bad choices and your misbehavior, and those consequences happen to be human beings, you are committing murder. I've used the illustration before that abortion is essentially murdering a witness to the act. You're taking somebody out of the picture who can provide evidence that you did something you probably should not have done. And before anybody starts screeching rape and incest, remember, They're so small as far as a percentage. They're almost non-existent, those instances. What they're really concerned with is making a lot of money off of killing the witness to something that shouldn't have happened. That's the abortion industry. And that's the politicians supported by it. In particular, one John Rogers from Birmingham, Alabama. More after the break, as the Daily Perspective continues. Well, that was an ugly start to today's podcast. And I know that for some of you it was uncomfortable, but the bottom line is the bottom line. And that is that politics, especially leftist politics, is in bed with the abortion industry. And the abortion industry is funding leftist politics. And the way they're funding leftist politics, in part, is by murdering the unborn. So we all need to understand, when one of them actually slips up and tells the truth, we need to point it out. And that's what we did today. John Rogers from Birmingham, in Montgomery, the state capital, talking to a room that is obviously preoccupied with many other things beside what he's saying, just spills the truth. And we have it preserved forever. It'll be interesting to see if he suffers any repercussions from what he's had to say. I seriously doubt he will, to be honest with you, because he is a Democrat politician. And because he is a Democrat politician and a Black Democrat politician serving a Black district, he is a hero, he is deeply respected, and he could almost murder someone in the street and get reelected, because that's the way politics works on the left. Well, speaking of politics on the left, yesterday was Kavanaugh 2.0. I honestly just watched the recaps. I didn't watch the proceedings themselves. In all honesty, I knew what was coming. I didn't have the stomach for it. Just didn't, because I was so sickened by what happened at the Kavanaugh hearings. I knew what was going to happen to Bill Barr yesterday, that Democrat after Democrat after Democrat would take their 5 minutes and just filibuster. And they would do their darndest to make this man look like the spawn of Satan. They would twist the facts. They would misrepresent things. They would bald-faced lie, and they would just attack him, which is what he did. What they did for 5 hours, he sat through some of the most obnoxious, mean, nasty, filthy, untrue statements from Democrats on that committee. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing. And the sad thing is that very, very few people saw it happen. I actually hope that I'm wrong about that, but I don't think I am, because I don't think people watch this kind of stuff. The only people, like I told my wife last night, the only people who really watch this stuff are political junkies, news junkies like us, and the news media. So the average rank and file, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbor across the fence, odds are they don't know what happened yesterday. But those of us who do know what happened yesterday recognize it for what it is. It's just another page in the witch hunt novel. That's all it is. Now, I've told you before that one of my favorite sources to go for a laugh from time to time when it comes to stuff like this is the chicks on the right. And they have a website called chicksonright.com. They have a radio show. They have they're in Indianapolis, Indiana. They have the website. They have the Facebook. They have the Twitter. They have all of it. And these two ladies are just hilarious sometimes. And Macarena, the co-founder, had some words about all the stuff that happened yesterday. She says, if there's anything we learned from the Barr hearings yesterday, it's that William Barr was one of the few actual adults in the room. Democrats were absolutely on their worst behavior during the hearing, and so were their many Twitter minions. And she quotes a tweet that she actually posted. The amount of hysteria displayed by liberals on Twitter today about the Barr hearings is so gloriously entertaining. Barr is everything they're not. Calm, level-headed, rational, logical, thoughtful, and completely in charge of his emotions. One of Trump's greatest appointments. And she's right. She goes on to say, there are moments from the hearing that I could play over and over on a on a continuous loop and never tire of them. Like when Barr told Dick Blumenthal, or Blumenthal, he couldn't have his call notes. And when he practically giggled during Ted Cruz's admonition of the admonition. Wait a minute. How did she spell that? Admonition of the Dems. And when he put Feinstein in her place, well, that was glorious. She just was dumbfounded. And when he explained the word spy, that was also good. But there were also moments when I was quite literally embarrassed for our country, that we have senators as out of control and completely intellectually bankrupt as Mazie Hirono and Kamala Harris and basically every other Democrat on the committee. Mazie should be institutionalized. That's the level of crazy she had on display. And Kamala was a complete biatch on wheels, thinking she was showing off her prosecutorial flair. But let's be real here. And here we go. Another tweet thing from CNN Politics. It says, Senator Kamala Harris accuses Attorney General Barr of failing to look at the evidence in the Mueller report before making a decision on obstruction of justice. To think about that for a second, okay? And then Brent Hume said he accepted Mueller's findings on fact. He based his decision on the law. Imagine what Harris et al. Would be saying if he'd decided to review 2 years of evidence. They'd be screaming he's stalling and covering up. She actually asked him if he reviewed the evidence himself. That was Mueller's job, not Barr's job. And she asked him if he had essentially done Mueller's job. She's running for president. She was campaigning. Kamala Harris, with her steely, beady, narrow eyes, going back to the article, trying to make Barr look incompetent for basing his decision on the Mueller report instead of basically repeating the entire 2-year investigation, was total nonsense. For the past 2 years, Dems have been screaming, trust the Mueller report. And now that Barr is saying, I trusted the Mueller report, they're all, how dare you base your decision on the Mueller report? Ben Shapiro called out the hypocrisy on Twitter, saying, I remember that time that Democrats were enraged that Attorney General Loretta Lynch didn't re-examine James Comey's underlying evidence with regard to Hillary Clinton's mishandling of classified material, and I just took Comey at his word instead. And just took Comey, yeah, right, like you did. And check this BS from Eric Holder out. The conduct of AG Barr over the last few weeks and in the hearing today has been shown to be unacceptable. I thought he was an institutionalist committed to both the rule of law and his role as the lawyer for the American people. I was very wrong. He is protecting the president. This is from a guy. He's the first attorney general ever to be found in contempt of Congress, by the way. He literally used the term wingman to describe his relationship with Barack Obama. He called himself Obama's wingman. That's who just said that. And then there was Elizabeth Warren, who said A.G. Barr is a disgrace and his alarming efforts to suppress the Mueller report show that he's not a credible head of federal law enforcement. He should resign. And based on the actual facts in the Mueller report, Congress should begin impeachment proceedings against the president. And Mark actually responded to that saying, hey, not sure if you knew this or not, but you can read the entire Mueller report. It's been out for a few weeks now. If Barr made alarming efforts to suppress it, he's like the worst suppressor in the history of suppressors. And she's right. every last one of these weasels has the opportunity and the ability to go read the complete unredacted report. They go into a room, they sign in, they leave their mobile devices, anything with a camera or recording or anything like that. They leave it outside, they go in, and they can look it over and read for themselves. Did you know that none of them have done that? None of them have done that. None, as in zero, as in, I said none, remember? None have done that. And I would dare say, I think I'm right to say this, almost all of them, the vast majority of them, haven't read the redacted report. They're just posturing. They're just making accusations. And then there is Nancy Pelosi. History will not be kind to Washington Republicans' Herculean effort to spin, distract, and defame their way out of facing the facts, and neither will the American people. And she hashtags it at the end, Free Mueller. Is Mueller being held against his will somewhere? Can someone do a welfare check? That was the insanity that was yesterday. There's more. There is more. And I will play you a great part of it coming up after the break. Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham 2.0. Wow. He was back in great form yesterday. And I'm going to share some of that with you when we come back after the break as the Daily Perspective continues. You are listening to The Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host, driving this big crazy bus. And I hope you're having a great day, and I appreciate you being there. Thanks so much. I say that every day, and I mean it. I do appreciate you being there. Whether you are amongst the little group on Facebook Live, hello folks, good to have you there live this morning, or if you are listening at some point in the future, which still blows my mind how you're listening from the future. I really wish you'd share that technology with the... What? Oh, it's a recording. Thanks for being there. Thank you very much. It is a crazy day in the neighborhood, especially after the William Barr hearing yesterday with the Democrats posturing and grandstanding and campaigning and doing all of the other things they're doing except actually admitting the truth of the matter. And, gosh, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that's over with. And I'm also glad that we don't have another day of it today. And the reason is those who are paying attention understand why. And those who haven't been paying attention are wondering, well, why won't he go speak to the House? He was supposed to appear before the House, wasn't he? Didn't he promise he was going to go before the House committee? So why has he decided he's not going to? Well, I'll explain. And that is because Jerry Nadler and Bill Barr agreed to his appearance and being interviewed by members of the House committee. And then Jerry Nadler changed the rules. He changed the way it was going to operate, having attorneys representing these people ask questions. You see, what Jerry Nadler wants is attorneys to treat this like a trial, to do probing follow-up questions, and the like. And because he changed the rules, Attorney General Barr said, no. See, he had sat through 5 hours of this tomfoolery yesterday. So yesterday afternoon, when the playing field got restriped in a different way and the rules got changed, he said, I won't be there. And this is the official statement that was released. Today, the Attorney General testified, referring to yesterday, the Attorney General testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee for over 5 hours. The Attorney General also voluntarily released the special counsel's confidential report with minimal redactions to Congress and the public, made an even less redacted report available to Chairman Nadler and congressional leadership, which they have refused to review. He actually says this in the statement, in parentheses, which they have refused to review. They don't want to see the report. They just want to crucify this man. And moving on, and made himself available to the committee by volunteering to testify this week. Unfortunately, even after the Attorney General volunteered to testify, Chairman Nadler placed conditions on the House Judiciary Committee hearing that are unprecedented and unnecessary. Congress and the executive branch are co-equal branches of government, and each have a constitutional obligation to respect and accommodate one another's legitimate interests. Chairman Nadler's insistence on having staff question the Attorney General, a Senate-confirmed cabinet member, is inappropriate. Further, in light of the fact that the majority of the House Judiciary Committee, including Chairman Nadler, are themselves attorneys, and the chairman has the ability and authority to fashion the hearing in a way that allows for efficient and thorough questioning by the members themselves, the chairman's request is also unnecessary. The Attorney General remains happy to engage directly with members on their questions regarding the report and looks forward to continue working with the committee on their oversight process, our oversight requests. Now, Nadler has suggested that the committee will subpoena Barr and hold him in contempt if he doesn't appear and turn over the complete report. Barr has made the complete report available, excluding grand jury testimony, to some lawmakers, but only three Republicans have viewed it so far. Obviously, it's super important to the Democrats. So these people, you have to understand, are posturing. They're grandstanding. They're hoping to persuade people that Bill Barr, who is doing everything by the book, they're hoping to convince people that this guy who's actually playing by the rules is the one who's cheating, when the cheaters are the Democrats on the committee. So just keep that in mind, okay? Bill Barr is one of the most gifted, capable, and intelligent legal minds in Washington, D.C., if not the most. And these people are playing way out of their depth with him. Way out of their depth. Now, somebody who I'm appreciating more and more all the time is Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. And yesterday, he took a little time talking to Attorney General Barr, and it was a beautiful thing.
As to where we go forward, as to how we go forward, would you recommend that this committee and every other committee of Congress do our best to harden our infrastructure against future Russian attacks?
Absolutely, yes.
Do you think Russia is still up to it?
Yes.
You think other countries may get involved in our elections in 2020?
Yes.
So you would support an effort by Congress working with the administration to harden our electoral infrastructure?
Yes.
Is that one of the takeaways of the Mueller report?
Yes.
Do you share my concerns about the FISA warrant process?
Yes.
Do you share my concerns about the counterintelligence investigation, how it was opened and why it was opened?
Yes.
Do you share my concerns that the professional lack of professionalism in the Clinton email investigation is something we should all look at?
Yes.
Do you expect to change your mind about the bottom line conclusions of the Mueller report?
No.
Do you know Bob Mueller?
Yes.
Do you trust him?
Yes.
How long have you known him?
30 years, roughly.
You think he had the time he needed?
Yes.
You think he had the money he needed?
Yes.
You think he had the resources he needed?
Yes.
You think he did a thorough job?
Yes, and I think he feels he did a thorough job and had adequate evidence to make the calls.
Do you think the president's campaign in 2016 was thoroughly looked at in terms of whether or not they colluded with the Russians?
Yes.
And the answer is no, according to Bob Mueller.
That's right.
He couldn't decide about obstruction. You did. Is that correct?
That's right.
You feel good about your decision?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
And it was direct and to the point. And the reason that Mueller could not come to a conclusion on obstruction was because it wasn't his job. It was the Attorney General's job. And there are those who were saying that the report was written, it was crafted in such a way so that it was vague, and that the Democrats could take advantage of it and use it as a means for impeaching the president. That may well be true. It very well could be true. It is a it's an interesting scenario, an interesting possibility. And that's something we'll need to pay very close attention to. Now, when Trump won in 2016, Dave and I were talking about it on the Mark and Mac show, and I said to him, I said, from this point forward, he will never be able to rest because the Democrats are going to be trying to unseat him. They're going to try to undermine him. They're going to try to demonize him for as long as he is in office, and they will try to keep him from winning again. And that's exactly what's going on. Also, what's going on right now, the reason you're seeing these people posturing the way they are, the reason you're seeing them making these demands, the reason you're seeing them do what they're doing, is because they have begun to realize the truth. And that truth is, Trump's going to be reelected. So they are gearing up for 4 more years of this filth and nastiness. And their partners in the mainstream press, the progressive press, are their willing accomplices in this process. And here's an example. During MSNBC's live coverage of Attorney General William Barr's congressional hearing on the Mueller report yesterday, known liar Brian Williams had the audacity to interrupt that coverage simply to smear Republican Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham and call him a liar. Graham's supposed lie? He accurately stated that special counsel Robert Mueller found no collusion between Donald Trump's presidential campaign and Russia.
No coordination, no conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russian government regarding the 2016 election. If there's no underlying
we're
crime,
reluctant to do this, we rarely do, but the chairman of the Judiciary Committee just said that Mueller found there was no collusion. That is not correct. Nicole Wallace, the report says collusion is not a thing they considered. It doesn't exist in federal code.
And what's stunning is that Lindsey Graham is offering answers to questions that aren't on the table today. The question on the table today, after the reporting last night, is why did Barr mischaracterize what was actually in the Mueller report?
Now, the reporting she's referring to, after the reporting last night, was the leaked letter from Mueller to Barr about he claiming that his report wasn't represented properly and that it was being misrepresented by the press. Remember, it was misrepresented by the press, not by the people, not by Republicans, but by the press. So, Brian Williams, who has a history of lying to the people, interrupted Lindsey Graham and pulled in somebody else to have commentary to distract from the truth for the viewers of MSNBC. This is just one reason that those who are watching MSNBC don't know what's really going on, because MSNBC is insisting upon interpreting for them the events they're watching and telling them what to think. And that's why I tell you, stop watching these people. This bumper catches me by surprise almost every time it runs. What the? Oh, it's that. I put it in there. The computer pulled it out of the list today, but I still put it in the computer. It is a crazy day in the neighborhood, especially for those of you paying attention to what happened yesterday in Washington, D.C., because our politicians were on parade doing their best, doing their darndest to prove to America that they're the heroes they promised they would be. bless their hearts. And one of those was Senator Mazie Hirono from Hawaii, the demented Democrat from the beautiful islands of Hawaii. She spent nearly 8 minutes. She spent so long. She just was hounding William Barr over and over and over. And Senator Lindsey Graham finally had enough. And he shut her down. And I've got the audio here, and I want to play some of it just so you get the gist of what this was like.
Mr. Barr, now the American people know that you are no different from Rudy Giuliani or Kellyanne Conway or any of the other people who sacrificed their once decent reputation for the grifter and liar who sits in the Oval Office.
She's reading, by the way.
You once turned down a job offer from Donald Trump to represent him as his private attorney. At your confirmation hearing, you told Senator Feinstein that, quote, the job of attorney general is not the same as representing, end quote, the president. So you know the difference, but you've chosen to be the president's lawyer and side with him over the interests of the American people. To start with, you should never have been involved in supervising the Robert Mueller investigation. You wrote a 19-page unsolicited memo, which you admit was not based on any facts, attacking the premise of half of the investigation. And you also should have insisted that Deputy Attorney General Rob Rosenstein recuse himself. He wasn't just a witness to some of the president's obstructive behavior. We now know he was in frequent personal contact with the president, a subject of the investigation. You should have left it to career officials. Then, once the report was delivered by the special counsel, you delayed its release for more than 2 weeks. You let the president's personal lawyers look at it before you even deigned to let Congress
wow.
or the public see it. During the time you substituted...
Hold on a second. She says he delayed the release of the report. If you look back on the history of things like this, stuff like this, reports like this, 2 weeks is a blink. It's a blink. And then she says, you know, that they haven't been able to see. They've been able to see it the entire time. It's been there, as I explained earlier. So basically what she's doing here is stacking lie after lie after lie after lie.
Your own political judgment for the special counsel's legal conclusions in a 4-page letter to Congress. And now we know, thanks to a free press, that Mr. Mueller wrote you a letter objecting to your so-called summary.
Right.
When you called Mueller to discuss his letter, the reports are that he thought your summary was giving the press, Congress, and the public a misleading impression of his work. He asked you to release the report summaries to correct the misimpression.
Actually, no. What Mueller said was that the press was giving the nation a misleading perspective.
You created, but you refused. When you finally did decide to release the report over a congressional recess and on the eve of two major religious holidays.
Yeah, 2 weeks after it was handed to him, he had to have the time to go through it. They had to redact relative information that was ongoing cases. He had to have 2 weeks. And as I said, in the big scheme of things, in the big picture, as these things go, that's a blink of time.
You called a press conference to once again try to clear Donald Trump before anyone had a chance to read the special counsel's report and come to their own conclusions.
Oh, what a bald-faced liar.
But when we read the report, we knew Robert Mueller's concerns were valid.
But wait a minute. You haven't read the report, Senator Hirono. None of you have. None of you have read the report. None of you. You liar.
And that your version of events was false. You used every advantage of your office to create the impression that the president was cleared of misconduct. You selectively quoted fragments from the special counsel's report, taking some of the most important statements out of context and ignoring the rest.
By the way, get the show notes today. Please, please get the show notes today and watch this video, because William Barr is killing me here. Because his expression is just like, is she still talking?
You put the power and authority of the Office of the Attorney General and the Department of Justice behind a public relations effort to help Donald Trump protect himself.
And what do you think what you're doing is, Senator Hirono? it's nothing more than a public relations effort to undermine the credibility of a really, really great guy. One of the very few in Washington, D.C., because you know what he is looking into next is how you may be culpable in trying to undermine the election of 2016.
Finally, you lied to Congress. Yeah. You told Representative Charlie Crist that you didn't know what objections Mueller's team might have to your March 24th so-called summary. You told Senator Chris Van Hollen that you didn't know if Bob Mueller supported your conclusions. But you knew. You lied. And now we know.
Wow.
A lot of respected nonpartisan legal experts and elected officials were surprised by your efforts to protect the president. But I wasn't surprised. You did exactly what I thought you'd do. It's why I voted against your confirmation.
Because I'm brilliant. I'm a genius.
I expected you would try to protect the president, and indeed you did. In 1989, this isn't something you hadn't done before. In 1989, when you refused to show Congress an OLC opinion that led to the arrest of Manuel Noriega. In 1992, when you recommended pardons for the subjects of the Iran-Contra scandal. And last year, when you wrote the 19-page memo telling Donald Trump, as president, can't be guilty of obstruction of justice and then didn't recuse yourself from the matter.
All of these share something in common. They went against the Democrats' wishes. All of those things. That's why she brought them up.
From the beginning, you were addressing an audience of one, that person being Donald Trump. That's why.
Wait a minute. You have to remember here that these people keep banging the same drum, right? And that drum is that he is the president's attorney. And please, please, please remember that Eric Holder, the former attorney general, Eric Holder, of the Obama administration, said he was Obama's wingman. Remember that.
Before the bombshell news of yesterday evening, 11 of my Senate colleagues and I called on the Department of Justice Inspector General and Office of Professional Responsibility to investigate the way you have handled the Mueller report. I wanted them to determine whether your actions complied with the department's policies and practices and whether you have demonstrated sufficient impartiality to continue to oversee the 14 other criminal matters that the special counsel referred to in other parts of the Department of Justice. But now, we know more about your deep involvement in trying to cover up for Donald Trump. Being Attorney General of the United States is a sacred trust. You have betrayed that trust. America deserves better. You should resign. I have some questions for you.
Remember, they never questioned Eric Holder being Mr. Obama's wingman.
Is the White House exerting any influence on your decision whether to allow Special Counsel Mueller to testify in Congress and when?
No.
Now, you've been clear today.
I'm sorry. He just turns. He's been looking to his right as she reads through her missive. And then he just very quickly turns to the mic and says, no.
That you don't think that any of the 10 episodes of possible obstruction that the special counsel outlined is a crime. I disagree. But you seem to think.
Yes, ma'am. You disagree because it's to your political advantage to disagree. However, the law covers how this is to be handled. And William Barr, the Attorney General of the United States of America, executed his duties under the law according to the law and according to the proper interpretation of the law, not your politically advantageous interpretation of the law.
That if it's not a crime, then there's no problem. Nothing to see here, nothing to worry about.
Oh my gosh. Listen. I want to move forward here and find, let's see. Let's move forward to this point.
To this line of questioning.
So,
listen, you've slandered this man.
Yeah, what I sort of want to know is how do we get to this point? Yeah,
I do not think that I'm slandering anyone. Mr. Chairman, I am done. Thank you very much.
And you slandered this man from top to bottom. So if you want more of this, you're not going to get it. If you want to ask him questions, you can't.
Certainly have your opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, General.
Now, Maisie Hirono, I got to be honest with you, should have been wearing a tinfoil hat. Actually, Blumenthal, sitting next to her, should have been wearing a tinfoil hat. And all of the Democrats on the committee yesterday should have been wearing tinfoil hats, because these people are nuts. These people are psychotic. These people... okay, let's just be honest. These people are evil. What they're doing is trying to cover themselves in advance because they know Donald Trump is going to win in 2020. They don't have a candidate that can defeat him. They know they have no chance. And so they're already stirring the mud up as much as they can in advance of his win to cast doubt on him for the next 4 years. As America celebrates things getting better, the Democrats are really out of touch. And that's it for today. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow on the next edition of The Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.